Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter number 12. Let us bow together, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come now to Thy precious word, Lord, we would pray, open our eyes, O God, to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Lord, may Thy word not be in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of God the Holy Ghost, to the salvation of sinners in this meeting, to the restoration, O God, of the backslider, to the edifying of the saint of God, and to the glorifying, O God, of Thy name. To this end, cleanse me afresh in Thy precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. And let the word of the Lord have free course in all our hearts and all our souls this day. We ask for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for this morning are the final words there of verse number 1 of Hebrews and the chapter number 12. Where it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now our text here uses the illustration of a race to describe the Christian life. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And in grace, God brings all of His people into the Christian race. And as the writer to the Hebrews here pens these words, he has in his mind's eye the Olympic Games. This was an event when all the tribes of ancient Greece would gather together to display the might and the physique and the prowess of the nation. And among the athletic exercises, there were also foot races. And the writer here uses such races to depict and to portray the Christian life. And with this description, the writer was wanting the Hebrew believers to whom he penned this letter to see that they were in a great race to heaven. And can I say, dear people, this morning, this is the position of every child of God. The moment a person is saved, the moment that person is converted to Christ, the moment they repent of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, trust His blood for the cleansing away of their sin and the salvation of their soul, that individual enters into the race of life to heaven. John the Apostle, speaking of God's people, says, he that hath the Son have life. By the moment a person accepts Christ as their Savior from sin, they are in the Christian race of life to heaven. Dear believer in the meeting this morning, this is how it is with you and I who are saved by God's grace. You and I are in the race of life to heaven. And it's that race of life for the believer to heaven that I want us to look at and think upon this morning. There are four important truths regarding that race I want you to note from our text today. Notice, first of all, the character of the Christian's race. Notice there how the writer speaks here in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, and he says, the race that is set before us. Notice those words, the race that is set before us. Notice that little word, set. It really means appointed. And these Hebrew believers had to run a race that was appointed them by God. And this is the case with every believer. God has a sovereign plan for all of His people. And in His sovereign plan, He has a race for all of His people to run as they travel toward heaven. Psalmist David realized this to be so in his own life. For in Psalm 37, he could say, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Again, the servant of Abraham realized this when he was looking for a bride for Isaac. For he could say, I being in the way which the Lord led me. Likewise, believer, God has a set race for you and I to run as we would journey towards heaven. You think for a moment of an athletic race, the competitors in that race, they run along a track that is marked out, a track that is clearly defined, that goes out before them. Well, God has a path marked out for you and I, dear believer, in this meeting. He has a trackway marked out for you and I to run as Christians. His desire is that we would run along this distinct pathway, this set pathway that He has for us and for every member of His own church. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer in the meeting this morning and you're anxious about God's will for your life. You're concerned about your future. Christian, I encourage you this morning to pray about that matter. I would encourage you to ask God to show you and to direct you from His Word and by His will and by His providence in the way that He wants you to go, and He will show you. For the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He will show you when you acknowledge Him and seek His will in prayer. David, the psalmist, he prayed, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Christian, are you concerned about the pathway for your future? You make those words of David your prayer this morning. Lord, for thy name's sake, lead me. Lord, for thy name's sake, guide me. Let me say this, dear Christian. Once the Lord reveals His will to you for your life, then immediately, without delay, immediately seek by God's grace to run in that race, to run in that way. By God's strength, seek to run that race, that track, with all your might. The Bible says, turn not from it to the left hand or to the right hand. Let me encourage you today, as you run God's race, rest assured that God's way is the best for your life. It's the best for your spiritual good. The Bible says, as for God, His way is perfect. God's way is a good way. It's a blessed way. Oh, be encouraged, be comforted, child of God, in your heart, that God's race for you will always be for your spiritual good. Does not the Bible say that God is working out all things for good in the life of His people? Surely in the light of this, may our continual prayer and burden as God's people be like that of the hymn writer who said, Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. O lead me by Thine own right hand, choose out Thy path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will still be the best. Winding or straight, it matters not, it leads me to Thy rest. That was the burden, the prayer of the hymn writer. Oh, as you think of God's race, make that your prayer today, dear child of God. Say, Lord, Thy way, not mine, O Lord. However dark it be, ask the Lord to lead you, to guide you. Yes, we see the character here of the Christian's race. But notice, secondly, this morning, the conditions for the Christian race. Notice what is said here in our text at the end of Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Notice that is mentioned there in our text. Let us lay aside every weight as we run this race. You think of an athlete this morning. An athlete cannot run successfully if he carries excess weight or if he carries excess baggage. Well, the believer must also lay aside the weight of self if he or she is to run well for God. You think of John the Baptist this morning. He was one who ran well for God in his day and generation. Why? Because he was a man who had learned to die to self. He had learned to die to his own self-will. Think of what he said in the Gospel of John chapter 3, speaking of his Savior. He said, He must increase, I must decrease. John learned to die to self. He learned to lay aside the weight of self-ambition and self-will in his own life as a believer. Christian, you think of the words of Christ to his own disciples as he speaks to them about the life of discipleship. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There the Lord speaks of the denying of self. Believer, if you and I are to run our race well for God, then we must learn as God's people to die to self, to die to self-will, to die to our own selfish ambitions. This is how it was with Paul. Turn back there to Galatians chapter number 2 and the verse number 20. Look at the testimony here of Paul. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice those words, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul had learned to die to self. To self-will, to his own plans and schemes and ambitions. Dearly, dear child of God, as you and I would run our race for heaven, we need to pray for grace to die to self. As it says here in Hebrews 12, verse 1, to lay aside every weight, to lay aside the weight of self-will and selfish ambition. But notice something else is required for running this race. Not only are we to lay aside the weight of self, notice something else is mentioned. It says, let us also lay aside every sin which doth so easily beset us. There we are encouraged and exhorted and commanded to lay aside our besetting sins as the people of God. In other words, anything in our life which we know to be sinful or to be contrary to God's word, God's way, it must be laid aside by us as the people of God. You remember what Paul said to young Timothy? He said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. And there Paul was exhorting Timothy to live a holy life, to set aside that which was sinful and wrong, that which is contrary to God's word and to God's way. That applies also to you and I. We are to lay aside the weight of self. But it says here also, we are to lay aside every sin which doth so easily beset us. We are to lay aside our besetting sins. And sadly, we live in a day when many professing believers will say that you can live as you please as a Christian. They will say that God's commandments are no longer relevant for the 21st century. Many of professing believers have no longer any regard for the keeping holy of the Sabbath day. Let me say to you this morning, dear people, the commandments of God matter with God. And they matter with God as far as His church is concerned. Turn with me back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and look at what is said at the beginning of the psalm, how it exhorts, it encourages, it excites God's people to live by God's law and God's commandments. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. You and I as Christians are to live by God's grace according to God's word, according to the commandments of God, as God would enable us. Oh, Christian, daily pray for grace. Yes, pray for grace to lay aside our besetting sins. Pray for grace to live for God's glory. Pray for grace to obey God's commands, to walk that holy life before God and before the world. And running our Christian race, we're to lay aside the weight of self. We're to lay aside the weight of our besetting sins. But notice something else, another condition that is required for running this Christian race. Notice what is said there at the end of verse 1 of Hebrews 12. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice that little phrase, with patience. The Christian life is not a short sprint. The Christian life is a life lived for God. And that requires the grace of patience. Think of that word patience there. It means to endure. It speaks of continuance. The Christian is to endure, to continue on in the way that God has him to go or her to go. Sadly, whenever Paul was writing his letter to the Galatian Christians, he had to rebuke them because they turned away from the way of God. He said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" They allowed other things to hinder them, other people, false teaching to turn them away from God and the way that God would have them to go. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" said Paul as he spoke to the believers in Galatia. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, let us beware as God's people of the vanities of this world. Let us beware of the love of ease, the love of pleasure, the love of money. Oh, may we not let these things hinder us, hold us back in running for God and going in the way that God would have us to go. Also, as God's people, may we not let the fear of man, tribulation, persecution, whatever, hold us back from running a straight race for God. Notice what our text says, or it says, let us run our race with patience. Turn over to James chapter 1, just over the page in your Bible. And look at what James says about patience in verse 4 of James chapter 1. He says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Child of God, pray day by day for the grace of patience to triumph in your life as you run your race to heaven. Yes, we see the conditions for running this Christian race. We see the character of this race. It is something God has appointed. But notice thirdly, in connection with our text this morning, the consolation in the Christian race. Now look carefully again at verse 1 of or verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. And notice what the writer goes on to say in the next verse. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, if these Hebrew believers were to know consolation in their times of trial as they journeyed to heaven, they were to keep their eyes upon Christ, upon the Lord, their Redeemer. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That word looking unto, it really means to look away from self, to look away from man, and instead look intently, look continually upon Christ. In other words, the entire life of these believers was to be one of steadfastly looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior and their Redeemer. And believer in Christ, no matter how long you are saved today, or maybe you're just recently converted to Christ, this is how it must be with you and I also as we run our race to heaven. What does the hymn writer say? The hymn writer says, looking on to Jesus, who has gone before. Christian, your eye and my eye is not to be upon ourselves or upon man around us. It's to be upon the Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who loved us, the one who gave himself a ransom for our sins. Look at how Hebrews 12 verse 1 begins. Notice the words there. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those words there point you and I back to the heroes of faith that are mentioned in the previous chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews. You take time to read and to study that chapter, and you'll read of those who accomplished much for God. You'll read of those who suffered much in the cause of Christ. You'll read of those who were victorious in the most adverse of circumstances for the Lord in their service and in their witness for the Savior. And what was the reason for such a testimony? What was the reason for their victorious witness for the Lord? The reason is summed up in two little words that you find occurring time after time in Hebrews 11. The two words, by faith. Look there just for example at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Notice that little phrase, by faith. Look at verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Abram went forward in faith. Now look at verse 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob blessed his sons by faith. Look at verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. Go down to verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. Go over there to verse 33. Notice what it says. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Why had they such a triumphant testimony? Because they were men and women of faith. Not in themselves, but in the Lord. Their whole trust was in the Lord. They lived the life of faith. They depended upon the Lord for everything. In essence, as it says in connection with our text this morning, they were continually looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. Here, as the writer seeks to encourage these Hebrew believers to look unto Christ, he says, look back. Look back to your predecessors, how they proved God, how they trusted God, how they followed God by faith. Child of God, how are you and I to run our race to heaven? We are to run our race to heaven looking unto Christ by faith. Child of God, follow the example of these heroes of the faith that are written about in Hebrews 11. In all your service for God, whatever it is, in your everyday life, in your employment, in your home life, in your family life, in times of trial and adversity, look to Christ for strength, and He'll not fail you. Look to Christ for wisdom, and He'll give you wisdom. Look to Christ for strength and grace, and He'll be unto you all that you would need and require. He faileth not. The Bible speaks of the exceeding riches of Christ's grace. The hymn writer says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse number 13. Notice what is said there to the Christian in the time of temptation. It says, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Christian, the Lord can give you victory over temptation and all the sinful allurements of this evil and ungodly world. He can give you victory. Go on over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and the verse number 10, and look at this tremendous promise also, dear believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse number 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. Christian, whatever God asks you to do, whatever God gives you to do, He can give you grace to abound in that work for God. His grace, it fails not. It's a reservoir that never runs dry. And He purchased that grace for all His people when He suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary and poured out His life unto death and cried out, it is finished. And child of God, that grace is there for you and I day by day to prove, to live by, as we run our race for God. Yes, the character of this race, the conditions of this race, the consolation of this race. But notice one final thought this morning. Notice the coronation of the Christian race. Look again at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Look at the latter part of verse number 2. As the writer here speaks to us further about Christ our Savior, he says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here these Hebrew believers are being reminded of the fact that the Christ, their Savior, went willingly to the cross. What for? As it is said there, for the joy of seeing many sons being brought into glory and being saved by the mighty, matchless grace of God. It says that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Who for the joy that was set before him? Christ, yes, went willingly to the cross. He suffered like no man suffered upon the cross. But in that work, there was a joy in his heart that souls would be saved. His redeemed would be brought into the family and fold of God and saved eternally. It says over in the prophecy of Isaiah, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Christ today is in glory, sitting in the Father's right hand, rejoicing that his work is done, that he's paid the price of redemption for all his people, and all his people will be saved, safely gathered into the fold of God. Not one shall be lost. The Bible tells us he's rejoicing today in glory. And Christian, let me encourage you this morning, your coronation day also is heaven likewise, just as it was for Christ. Turn over there to 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at what Peter says here to tried and tempted Christians. In verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Christian, there's a place reserved for you in heaven at the end of the race of life. Think of what heaven will be like. The Bible says it's the place of fullness of joy. It's the place where there is no sin, no night, no darkness, no sickness, no death. The place where you shall be eternally with Christ, which is far better, the Bible says. And people of God, if you and I have been faithful to Christ on earth, when we enter into heaven, we will hear those blessed words of commendation from our Savior when we finish our race on earth. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Oh, Christian, as you and I run our race for God by God's grace, let us be a people who are faithful. A people who are faithful even unto death, till the Lord comes, or till the Lord calls us home. Maybe there's one in the meeting this morning, you're unsaved. Friend, if you are to be delivered from the broad way that's leading you to everlasting destruction and hell, if you're to be in that narrow way that leads to abundant life, that leads to eternal life in heaven, then now in time, friend, you must repent of your sin before God. And by faith you must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him who died upon the cross, who shed his blood to save you and to cleanse you from all sin and to set you free. And praise God, if you do, the Lord will save you. He'll set you on the race of life to heaven. And one day he will bring you into glory. Listen to what the Lord says in Isaiah 45, verse number 22. He says, "Look unto me, be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Look to Christ. Look by faith to Christ. Have his blood applied by faith to your soul, your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of the Lamb. Start out today in a race of life that will take you one day into heaven and into heaven's glory. We're going to close our meeting by singing together.